The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing, and we have a busy Saturday coming up as well with National Hunt Racing from Carlisle, Haydock and Newton Abbott in the afternoon. There's also all weather racing at Kempton, and we finish the day with two evening meetings on the turf, one from Nottingham and one from Bath. So the evening racing is back. We'll be live on Racing Radio from 1:10pm for all of the action with Mick Norton, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell in the studio. But right now, my name is Mark Walton, and I'm joined by Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mark.
Good. Busy old Saturday coming up. We're going to look ahead to some of the action from Haydock. But before we get there, we've just had another couple of days at Cheltenham. Catherine, I imagine you'll have been involved in the action somewhere or somewhere in another. We're getting towards the end of the jump season, but it was good to see decent jumps racing still going on.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I couldn't believe how competitive the cards really were, you know, over the 2 days. I think I think the only sort of problem was I was just the ground was described sort of all manner of things. Ground was described as dead. It was described as patchy. It was quite, you know, we had such a wet winter as everyone did here, and then dried up considerably for the festival. And then probably since the festival, we wouldn't have had a great deal of rain here. So I know that they were absolutely hosing water on it, you know, to keep it, maintain it to a racing standard. But sort of that did cause false patches. I know a couple of people that actually withdrew their horses, didn't sort of want to risk it on that. It's quite hard at the end of the season, isn't it? And obviously, it was quite a tricky card, I felt. To be honest with you, I didn't really speculate much over the 2 days because I just find that you never really know what's sort of going on at the end of the season. You don't really know which horses kind of a past it. You don't know which horses have got kind of like an eye in for the next season. Although it's a meeting that I really enjoy, I always find it quite a tricky one. And to be honest, I can't remember the last time I backed a winner there, so I tend to just go and take it in.
Fair enough. Yeah, you mentioned the ground there, and that's going to play a part in whether we see Side of Grugy again this season by the looks of things. Apparently connections are saying that Side of Grugy will only run in the celebration chase should the ground be on the softer side of good. From what I can, what I'm reading, they're quite keen to run him, but they just don't want to risk him on the quicker ground.
No, and I was reading earlier, they say that he was a bit stiff and sore after Cheltenham, because obviously the Wednesday of Cheltenham and the ground had got pretty quick. So yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, I haven't really looked at any advanced weather forecast for this week, but I mean, should imagine that everywhere's pretty much the same. I mean, Haydock that we're going on to talk about, I think they're watering to maintain the good to soft as well. Would imagine that everyone else is kind of in the same boat, really. It doesn't seem. I know that we're kind of forecast some rain here around Sunday time, but not too sure. Sort of two hours down the road at sundown, but yeah, no, it'd be great to see him. Obviously, last year's champion chase winner, Sprinter Sacra, went on to Aintree, went on to Punchestown after that. So it is nice to see them out again, but it's totally understandable if we don't due to ground.
Yeah, and he's also on the shortlist for Jumps Horse of the Year. Five horses on the shortlist. More of that, My Turns Are Yours, Quavega, Silviniaco Conti and Sire de Grugy. So if you had to pick between those, Catherine, which would you go for?
I'd go with Quavega, Mark. A lot said about how she's campaigned. And a lot's also said about the mare's hurdle. Whatever you think of the race and the horse, it's some achievement to come back 6 years in a row and win a race at the festival. The last couple of years, she's looked beat. Coming into the last, only she absolutely finds. And yeah, I'm a massive fan of Quavega. I think she's as tough as nails. So yeah, stick with the girls. Can totally understand Side of Grugy, of course. I mean, I think there was a quote from Jamie Moore before Cheltenham that you know he really does dislike the place, so for him to put in a performance like that, and of course he hated, so you know it was fantastic to see. But no, I'd go with Quavega. You know, love her or hate her, she's some lady to come back time and time again.
Certainly is, yes. She does two things a year. She turns up at Cheltenham and wins.
Yeah.
Goes to Punchers Town and wins. yes, I mean, you could really appreciate all of them in there. I mean, more of that was
sensational young horse. Yeah.
I mean, he could be great horse for years to come now, couldn't he?
Yeah.
And side of Grugy, I suppose I like the side of that Cheltenham's not his track. The ground probably didn't suit. It was not many people's idea of a champion chase winner, and he went and did it quite impressively. It was kind of like, it didn't matter in the end. It was kind of like saying, well, all these things are against me, but I'll still win.
It'll be very interesting next season to sort of see, you know, if Sprinter Sacra does come back and to see how he does fare against, you know, Sprinter Sacra. I mean, you would imagine that they target the race again. You know, it's almost like the Desert Orchid factor, really. Desert Orchid hated Cheltenham, but still managed to win a Gold Cup. And, you know, Side of Grugy, he really did show, you know, his class. You've got to be some horse to act on a place you absolutely hate, and you can see that he's not really at home over those undulations. And we've talked time and time again on all these podcasts about every time, you know, I've obviously living here, I've been quite lucky to walk Cheltenham quite a lot in my life, and every time I walk it, I just think it's the most crazy layout I've ever seen. Same as well, I walked Epsom once, and it kind of reminded me of Cheltenham on the flat. So, you take my hat off to him, and great for the owners as well. I mean, what a story, really. So, that's to me, he kind of epitomises the jumping game. So, fair play to him. I hope they get a bit of cut in the ground at Sandown, and hope we see him there.
Okay. But Quvega is the choice for Catherine there. We'll find out who wins that in due course. But let's move on now from that, and we'll look ahead to Saturday's action. And Catherine's going to take us through a couple of races, well, three races at Haydock, and we'll get her thoughts in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Saturday's racing. Three races at Haydock are what we're going to look at, and the first of them is the 240, and this is a handicap hurdle, part of the Jockey Club Grassroots Hurdle Series. In fact, it's a final for that, and it's over 2.5 miles, and a good lineup as well. 17 of them in the lineup. We're probably going to get somewhere like 5-1, 9-2 the field. It's a very competitive way to start the selections here, Catherine. So what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, it's one of those late season handicap hurdles, which is, again, a little bit of a puzzle. I guess the one thing with sort of it being a final, you have got sort of horses that will have been aimed at this. Quite like the look of a few in this. I think I've sort of kick off one of my main fans is Heath Hunter of David Pipes. I was ex-Jim Colotti horse. Raced in the main on sort of heavy yielding conditions. Does boast a second on good soft ground. He's on the same mark as when fourth. He's fourth and he's beaten favourite Ascot on heavy ground. Had cheap pieces on that day, has him on again. One thing I like about this horse, he's very nicely bred. His dam is a sister to Nick Dundee. She was obviously a half-sister to Ned Kelly. And I think although the Pipe Stable haven't had a winner in recent weeks, they're still hitting the places. So I'm not sort of too concerned, really, that you know, they're sort of on a dry spell. He would sort of be one. I think, you know, we always say it's sort of competitive race of this nature, Mark. You know, as we've said time and time again, we could sit here and literally make a case for all of them. The ones that sort of, you know, take my interest, another one would be Carlton Jack, horse of John Joe O'Neill's. Morris Linehan takes the ride. I think there's a quote from Morris Linehan after he'd won at Sedgefield, is that the horse has plenty of ability, but he doesn't do a lot in front. He does tend to be very keen and a bit fizzy. In his last trip out, he's beaten 35 lengths in a handicap. There's a wing canter at the beginning of the month. So, you know, he gets in here on a nice weight. Morris obviously takes the five off. Would sort of be, you know, he'd be looking at a sort of typical horse in that colours that they're always going to take your eye. Keel Hall of Henry Oliver has been raised £10 for his last win. Whole court of Evan Williams. I mean, Evan's sort of cleaning up at the moment. I mean, Court Minstrel at Aintree. Court Minstrel running an absolute blinder against My Tante Yours last weekend. And obviously, Bywise won at Cheltenham this week. I like about this horse, I don't think that the ground is going to be a problem for him. He almost wants a sort of the quicker ground. One over 2.5 miles out last time out, and his trainer feels as though he's got the speed for two, and he could stay three. So a trip around 2.4 miles is going to be absolutely perfect for him. taken quite a hike in the ratings sort of for winning at Ludlow. He's all won up to 127. But he's definitely on my shortlist here. So I think, to be honest, Mark, if I had to pick two out against the field, it would be Heath Hunter and Hold Court.
OK, Heath Hunter and Hold Court then in the 240 at Haydock. That's the final of the hurdle division. This is the final. The next race we're going to look at, is the 315. It's a handicap chase over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. We'll start with Bingham, who's chasing the hat-trick. He won over this course last time and was an easy winner the time before that, but this is altogether more competitive. He's likely to be up there near the top of the betting. What do you make of him?
Bingham, he's obviously on my shortlist. I think one thing to sort of note is that the Hobbs stable have kind of consistently held their form throughout this season. They've had an absolutely blinding year. Bingham, he started the season on 95, comes in here for a mark of 119, and he has to be towards the top of his shortlist, even though, like you say, Mark, it is a far more competitive race. Again, a horse that takes my eye here is a horse of Evans, King Machini. Fell in the festival handicap that Holywell won. He did self plenty keen enough that day. It's actually his first fall under rules. He fell in his point days. But he's again has been something of a revelation this season. Showed battling qualities to win at Cheltenham in December. That was on good ground, but he literally won by a nose. I had to hit the headlines. Granted, that was off a mark of 114. With Mark got raised to 120 after that, and then got put up to 131 by absolutely slamming Rodalis by 7 lengths at Ludlow as he fell at the festival. But I just think with the stable form as well, and if you can forgive the fall last time out, he's normally a pretty safe and accurate jumper, and he's his game as anything, so he's on the shortlist. I think another one that I quite like the look of would be John Joe's Lost Legend. I think you can forgive the run over the Aintree fences behind Marfaloo when he pulled up in the top, and he absolutely whacked Valentine's, I think, and he just didn't look in love with the fences. I think back over sort of park fences, is going to be to his liking. Morris again taking them out. See Richie McLernan injured, takes off £5, leaves him on 11 stone. It's just this is, I mean, I love handicaps, but this is a massive, a bit of a head scratcher for me. Hollow Blue Sky as well of Twist and Davis. Again, the form of the Twist and Davis yard is almost akin to the form of the Pipe yard at the moment. They haven't had a winner since Aintree, but they're still filling the places. So again, I'm not too concerned. One thing about this horse, Hollow Blue Sky, is again, he's going to encounter faster ground than he has done in his last two. Two wins at Huntingdon came on heavy and soft, right, and sort of when we were in the grip of the storms for a couple of months. Highly competitive race, but I just think with the form of Evans Yard and the fact that King Messina has actually got an entry in the season finale next week at the Bet 365 Gold Cup at Sandown. Nearly called it the Whitbread then, showing my age. But I just think, given the form of the yard, I would plump for him.
Okay, King Messina then. The selection for Catherine in the 315, and we'll move on to the 420 next. And this is the Fixed Brush Novices Handicap Hurdle. It's over 2.5 miles, 7 of them in the lineup here. And Kilgeffen Star, Horatio Hornblower, Gara Halish, and Wake Your Dreams all come into this in winning form. And then you couldn't really write out the others in the lineup either. It's a competitive little 7-runner race. Who do you like here?
I really like Wake Your Dreams. He won under a double penalty at Market Raisin last August, and he was then put away. I don't think he's really sort of lover of like quite deep winter ground, and obviously he would have absolutely hated it this season. Put away then. There was talk of him emerging for a novice chase campaign around February, March time, but of course the ground, 2 weeks before the festival, the ground was still absolutely horrendous. So it's pretty why we haven't seen him, until now. This is, of course, over the Fixed Brush hurdles. I would imagine that they're looking to take this en route to a novice chasing campaign. He gets a nice bit of weight, obviously, all round apart from bottom one. I just can see him. See him scooting in here. He got a lovely relationship with Sean Quinlan. Not too worried about the time off. Jenny Candlish can get one ready. Would be my selection for the race. Just talk about horizontal speed as well. Two wins in the heavy at Taunton, which was actually one of them, was a qualifier for this. Disappointed in sort of the final at Sandown. It was one in there and a mark of 1-3-2. He made a mistake early on, but it's just interesting to see how the horse is going to sort of handle faster conditions, because he's been doing all of his running this winter and running out, you know, with credit placing and winning on absolutely desperate ground. So, and he, of course, he's top weight as well. But, you know, as we've seen this Cheltenham, I mean, you know, Hobbs and Johnson still in the form of their lives. Can't rule him out, but I just think it's going to be a pretty tough task. I think it's a doddle of John Jones is going to be possibly best suited to softer conditions. When was, again, he so mentioned Horatio Hornblower there. He was an easy winner of the hands and heels race at Newbury last time out, 12 lengths, I think. Lizzie Kelly won that off a mark of 117, on a higher mark now of 129. But yeah, no, very, very competitive race. But I think the fact that better ground, we probably will be seeing a lot of Wake Your Dreams as a novice chaser in the summer. Oh, he's my selection.
Okay, Wake Your Dreams then. In the 4:20, as always, and Catherine, let's just have a quick summary of your selections, if you'll spin us through your thoughts for Haydock one more time.
Yeah, certainly. So in the 2:40, I'll be going with Heath Hunter and a selection also on Hold Court. In the 3:15, King Messini. And in the 4:20, I'll be with Wake Your Dreams.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Catherine.
Thanks.
Enjoy Haydock on Saturday. Good luck with those selections, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again next week.
Thanks, Mark.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Catherine Fry on Saturday's racing from Haydock. You'll hear that and the rest of Saturday's racing on Racing Radio from 1:10 p.m. We have a busy Saturday coming up with Jumps Racing from Carlisle, Newton Abbott, and this card at Haydock. There's also all weather racing at Kempton on Saturday afternoon. Their feature race is the Snowdrop Filly Stakes, which is a listed contest. And then we have two evening meetings on the turf. Evening racing is back, and it's Nottingham and Bath on Saturday evening. And the racing at Bath is quite good as well, with a listed Lansdowne Filly Stakes, the highlight on their card. So plenty of racing to look forward to this Saturday. Mick Norton, Craig Forsyth, and Gary Capel will be your team in the studio. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.